Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Right? Because that is something that could be really valuable. Don't just have that conversation end with the person that you're talking to. Leverage them and ask them with every conversation, your penultimate question, your second to last question should be, is there anyone else who you think I should be talking to? Would you be willing to introduce me to anybody else in your network? Like, that is an incredibly powerful, very lightweight, because if they've already spent 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with you, they will be willing to make that introduction. Right?
I like that. Thank you so much. That's so helpful. In terms of prioritizing campaigns, that's another area that I'm just so overwhelmed with. And I think, you know, we tested, and to your point, farmers market, I honestly never thought about it because, you know, we positioned ourselves as a higher end luxury market. So for me, farmers market was always out of my mind. But I think it is a less expensive way to get out there and really understand and see where we can get some traction from. So thank you for that. I'm definitely going to use it. But I'll tell you, when we opened up our first flagship store a few months ago, I did start analyzing. I myself would go to the store and spend on average 4 hours a week and try to talk to the people that would walk in and understand what their pain points were. And the anxiety workshop came from that. So I do agree. I think it's important for us to ask the questions. Just go to the potential target audience and ask, and then solidify who you want to narrow it down to. Now, I've definitely narrowed it down, at least for the time being, that it is going to be women, and most of them are dealing with anxiety, especially the ones who are moms, working moms, because COVID has impacted them in more ways than most
people.
Because they have to juggle kids, Zoom, and then their own Zoom calls and all of it. So it's been really difficult for them. So I decided to narrow it down for the time being to women 35 to 54 and you know, just start testing some marketing campaigns, focusing on them. And going back to prioritizing marketing campaigns, that's been another struggle of mine because I want to do it all and I want to push all 10 trains at the same time. And then
you sound like a founder, Maria.
So we need advice on that.
Yeah.
Before we burn out.
Yeah, absolutely. So a tried and true framework that I like to use, and this is, in my mind, this is applicable not just to larger technology companies, although I've deployed this time and time again in my previous roles, but something that I think is applicable regardless of the size of the company is that you have a limited amount of resources. And, you know, in often cases with startups, it's a limited amount of money, right? And so you have a budget. What you really need to do is understand what the channels are, right? Basically, I call this a channel inventory, right? An inventory of all the tactics that you could use, right, to reach out to them. This ranges from the very inexpensive, like going to a farmer's market, to the very expensive, producing a TV commercial, for example, right? It ranges, it sort of runs the gamut. I would inventory all of that, right? And understand what I like to basically do is map it to the stage of the funnel that I'm really focused on. So for a new company, right, you're really focused on sort of this top of the funnel awareness consideration piece, right? Obviously the conversion, there is a conversion element there because without conversion, you're not making money. But in order for them to get to the point of conversion, they need to know you exist, right? And so there is very high level, just in terms of we call them marketing qualified leads, but in general, it's more so top of the funnel, right? Leads that are coming in. You need to build that awareness. How do you build that awareness? Well, look at all of the tactics that you have at your disposal, right? Digital advertising. So that would be SEM, maybe SEO for organic content, content marketing. You have print media, podcast, audio, TV. There's hundreds. I think at last count, my inventory stood at something like 130 different tactics we could use, right? And so with that, I would basically then say, okay, this tactic impacts what stage? For this particular segment, women ages 35 to, I think you said 40, 35 to 44?
Yes, 35 to 54.
35 to 54, sorry. 35 to 54. I'd say, okay, so what do I expect this particular tactic? Let's take podcast, for example. How would I expect that to impact either awareness, consideration, conversion, or retention, right? Because you care about all four. This is just breaking down the funnel into very, very high level buckets. But how would I expect that tactic to impact each of these different stages of the funnel? In Romilly's case, I'm really focused on top of the funnel, right? And so I want to identify the tactics that would really benefit the top of the funnel, really get my name out there, get my brand out there. But I always cross that against resource cost, right? And so what I like to see is, what is the expected impact? I usually put that in text, right? And then on top of the text in the cell, like in Excel, for example, I'll use a color. And the color refers to, is it inexpensive or is it very expensive? So if it's inexpensive, then it's green. If it's very expensive, then it's red. So it gives you a really quick and dirty view, like a way of looking at all of the tactics that you have that impact different stages of the funnel. And then it allows you to very easily understand, okay, I want to focus on high impact. So the text is high and green color, cost is low. High impact, low cost impacts top two stages of the funnel. Right. And then I just zero in on those. And then typically now what we're really seeing is that marketing organizations or growth organizations are really zeroing in on just three, like top three drivers. Right. So rather than trying to use all of the tactics, they're focusing on just the three that really work. Right. And then really doubling down on those. And so that's the way that I would think about this. Right. Is that you have all of these things you could do. What are the ones that, how do all of these different tactics impact different stages of the funnel for your target segment? And then how expensive is that tactic? And what is the expected impact that that tactic will have? Once you understand those two, you have a map. You basically have a roadmap, right? And you just follow that roadmap. As you start to grow, then you want to start putting a little bit more money into the middle of the funnel, right? Conversion. Like, what are the different tactics that would increase conversion? Probably coupons, promotions, right? Like, there are different tactics at different stages of the funnel that work, right? Some that are more expensive, some that are less. Like a coupon or a discount will hit your margin, right? It'll hit your top line, but it'll probably mostly impact your margin, right? Because taking a cut from your top line is going to have a disproportionate impact on your margin, right? So are you willing to take that hit to your margin? Maybe, you know, if you're able to retain the customer and then you know that once they're in, you hook them there and they come back regularly, right? So what is your lifetime value of that customer? If it's fairly high, Maria, then you should be willing to spend or maybe even give that product away technically for free, financially for free, right? Where the coupon is, you're not making any money. Right, you're basically eating up all your margin in order to acquire that customer, knowing that the customer will come back. So again, across all the stages of the funnel, just understand what the tactics are and then map impact and then cost, right? That way you're managing, you know what the expected impact is, but you're also spending within reason, right? So that you're not just trying to burn all of your cash across a whole bunch of different tactics without knowing what will work, because no one has it better.
That's so helpful, because I think the issue I was having, I was actually going down in the funnel and thinking about conversion as I was thinking about all the different campaigns that we have in line to execute. And ultimately, the KPI was drive sales. But I forget that we're still a baby. Nobody really knows about us. I mean, to a certain extent, they don't compared to some of our largest competitors. So, that's going to definitely change things around, because then if I look at it from the top of the funnel and think about just branding, awareness, and all of that, I can lean on so many easier and less expensive campaigns versus the ones that I was really planning to execute and focus on.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, Roma Leaf has already gotten some amazing press, right? You've gotten great press, you've been on the news. And I think that that's all a part of this sort of top of the funnel activity, right? That you're trying to build brand awareness around. But don't lose sight of brand building, because that's something that will continue to pay dividends, right? Because when you have a strong brand, that also impacts the bottom of the funnel, right? It impacts retention as well. And so once they're, for example, hooked on content, right? You have really hard-hitting content, they'll come back for more, right? And the more stickiness you build around content, for example, the more trust and credibility you build with your brand, and they're more willing to pay more, buy more. As you launch new products, they're going to be your brand ambassadors and your champions. And so that's the way that I would think about, that's the way that I would think about that.
I love it. Thank you. And I think before we jump into B2B marketing a little bit, because you're I don't know anyone that knows so much about B2B marketing as much as you do. So I want to like just tap into that brain of yours a little bit. But in terms of the workshops, so we've done the anxiety workshops 3 months in a row. And this last one was a hybrid one where we were online as well as offline, you know, in person. And starting next month, we're planning to do it online for a few months, just so we can have unlimited amount of people coming in and joining us. You know, with the in-person one, we were limited to maximum 40 to 50 people because of COVID. We have to, you know, all the LA stuff that we have to deal with. With that said, the last three were somewhat similar in terms of the idea. And obviously the title of the workshop is Hello Relief, Goodbye Anxiety. And I think anxiety is a huge topic, and most of our customers come to us because they need some kind of a relief for anxiety. But I'm struggling with how to expand that even further so that we're not delivering the same content. The doctors aren't talking about the same old thing every single presentation, every single time, especially when we've got people. Last two workshops, we had 4 people that showed up again twice. And so I feel obligated to give them something new and fresh. And so what's one way to be creative with ideas and maybe even bringing on speakers who are a little bit more different or talk about different things? Any suggestions on that?
Yeah, you know, I think so. Obviously, mixing up the speakers, you will automatically get different content, right? And so for those 4 or 5 people, let's get that up to 100. Right. I love the idea that of moving this to digital because it opens up the aperture of the potential audience so much more, right, than in person. Obviously, physical is wonderful, right? But I think we've all become very accustomed to attending meetings virtually, right? And so one thing that I would say, and this is not directly addressing your question, but one thing that I would consider, and you may have already done this, Maria, is sending something out in advance, right? So for everyone that has signed up, send something out. It doesn't have to be product, but it could be like a pamphlet, or it could be a booklet, or it could be something that complements the workshop, right? And that might be a really nice way, A, to remind them that they've signed up for this workshop, B, encourage them, because this is serious, right? You are a legitimate business. And as a part of that, you are providing them with a free event, right, for them to join. And once you've done that, there is this sort of quid pro quo dynamic that happens where, because you've given them something that is value added to them, they feel also obligated to join your event, right? And when they join your event, they will walk away having received some sort of valuable, you know, advice, counsel, something, right? And so it's good for them, it's good for you, but I would definitely consider sending something out because we're seeing more and more of that now. And I think in B2B with companies that are, you know, for companies that are fully remote, they'll say, oh, we're going to have a virtual happy hour and we're going to send you either a bottle of wine or a cocktail making kit, right? And so everyone basically comes together and does it virtually. There is definitely an opportunity to do that. But with that being said, I think the way to really mix up content is to think about potentially, you know, I like to say sometimes non-promotion is the best promotion, right? So it may not necessarily be about promoting CBD, right? And so, you know, at these workshops, it may be simply about learning how to manage anxiety. And so having someone come in who is just talking high level about how to manage through anxiety, how to manage the different situations. CBD may be one part of that, right? But it might be teaching folks how to breathe, right? Like that's one of the most impactful things from yoga that, you know, if you're a practitioner of yoga that you walk away with is, wow, I've been on this earth for 40 years and I don't know how to breathe, right? That's what you walk away with. And you're like, oh my goodness, it's completely changed my life. Yeah. So I think something like that would be really value added because people don't typically have an opportunity to just stop what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. This is a moment of calm for folks who are joining the workshop. And so if you're able to sort of leverage that moment of calm and build off of that and have someone come in, perhaps a yoga instructor, to teach people how to breathe, that could be something that's really impactful. Because again, Room Relief is about an experience. Ultimately, of course, you're building a business, but even the way that I think about, you know, managing growth for very large B2B companies is sometimes non-promotion is the best promotion, right? What is the white paper? A white paper is not necessarily, it's actually by design, not promotional, A white paper is about something having to do with the industry that is just information and educational about the industry. It is by design not meant to be promotional for the company that is issuing or publishing the white paper. In many ways, this sort of event can borrow or leverage some of that, right? It's non-promotion as the best way of promoting yourself, right? Because again, your brand is about goodbye anxiety, right? But you're certainly by no means suggesting that the only way to get rid of anxiety is through CBD. Of course not. So invite other folks on into your workshop to teach people how to breathe, maybe to how to meditate, right? You could have someone, you could even co-market. You know, there are a number of really big meditation apps now. And I'm sure, I use a couple of them. And a lot of companies now are actually starting to subsidize them, but that's a great opportunity to have someone from one of those sorts of companies come and just share a little. It's like a co-marketing opportunity for them. So they would love that. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for you to sort of borrow from the halo effect of these very well-known brands, right? So having someone from this big meditation app come to your workshop means that you're probably going to increase or draw a much larger crowd than you otherwise would while they benefit from it.
I love that idea. And what's a sneaky way of making sure that I get that halo effect from it? Do we make sure that they promote it on their social media accounts as well, so that we're tapping into their audiences?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So any sort of agreement, I mean, even if it's a yoga instructor who comes, right? You know, their yoga studios, they typically have huge rosters, right, of folks. And so, and many of them have gone virtual and vastly increased their user base their yoga student base because they went virtual, right? And so even if you're doing something like that, I mean, the potential reach is enormous. And so I also like to call myself a lazy marketer sometimes, because I think, you know, there are ways to, I like to call them hubs and spokes, right? So we typically go after each spoke. And rather than going after each spoke, if you can identify the hubs and have the hubs go out to the spokes for you, that is the best way to market, because it's A, it's cheaper, B, it's more impactful, C, you're leveraging their halo, their brand, they've already built up that trust, right? And so the hub and spoke model is something that, you know, you often hear with supply chain, et cetera. But when it comes to marketing, I use that often, right? Because I am a lazy marketer. Like, I don't want to have to go through all the spokes, right? Or to go after all the spokes. So being able to identify the hubs and have them work with you, right? And work on your behalf can be incredibly impactful.
That's genius advice. Thank you. I'm going to jump on that and focus on the hubs. Because to your point, we need to do less. Less is more sometimes. We have, I can't believe this, but we literally have almost less than 3 minutes left. So. I don't even want to talk about B2B marketing at this point. I feel like I have more questions about Roma Leaf. And speaking of Roma Leaf, influencer marketing has been very impactful for us from day one. And we actually generate sales from our influencers, because we generally tell them to use promo codes and promote it and so on. So it's a bit of a direct response marketing mixed with branding and all of that. Now, you know, as you know, we had with our workshops, we had sponsors and a bunch of different brands, health and wellness brands that came on board and sponsored, especially this last event. We had about, I think, almost 15 or 20 sponsors that just send us products for all the guests. And now we have access to all these sponsors that we can potentially partner with and start working with. And my question for you is, besides, you know, thinking about getting them on the podcast and interviews and so on to build this relationship, what other suggestions would you have for me to think about in terms of how do we really tap into those hubs? Because they are more, some of them are more established than we've been. So
yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. So I think the big thing is, what do they care about? What do these hubs care about, right? Because at the end of the day, they're always trying to add value for their users, right? And in many ways, you know, Roma Leaf inherently adds value, because your product basically reduces anxiety, right? And so I think with that being said, trying to really understand the best relationships and the best partner, these are strategic partnerships. The best strategic partnerships are where there is a strong win-win, where both parties walk away feeling like they got a better deal, right? And so at the end of the day, one of the things to really think about is for each of these potential strategic partnerships, what value would you be adding to that partnership? Like, who are their, like, who is their customer base or user base, right? In the case of a meditation app, for example, and what do they care about, right? And are there specific parts of their business model where you might fit in more naturally, right? And so I would definitely be thinking about how do I add value to them, right? Because no one is going to do it for free, right? Like, they want something. There is always a quid pro quo with a strategic partnership. And so understanding what they are looking for and just reviewing, like, what are the things that they've been focusing on?
Thank you so much. I think if we can get you on the show a few more times, we'll be very successful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.